Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Halloween, October 31st, 2023, 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. Hour number two, you say? Yes. If you haven't got the memo, we are now noon until two, Monday through Friday. Switching over last week, noon until 2. Then the fantastic Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct takes over from 2 until 4. So I'm glad to be in the afternoons with Matt, and happy to be here every noon until 2 with you. Coming up a little bit later in hour number 2, continuing our Halloween theme of urban legends that happen to be true. Some of these things you hear, I'll give you a little precursor. Buried Alive, right? A lot of spooky Halloween movies. It's actually happened. I mean, it's pretty spooky. One of the things, I don't worry about it so much anymore, but was one of the things I used to actually worry about. Oh my gosh, what if I was buried alive? Creepy. Anyway, we'll tell you real urban legends coming up later this half hour, and more of your phone calls ahead as well. Right now, though, we're going to welcome in our next guest of the show. He is Nick Ramos. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Mr. Zommers, we have another guest live and in person here. We don't get many, Nick, so we appreciate you making the trip in. How are you doing?
Man, you know, I looked out my window today and saw the snow. I'm just like, I'm not ready. On Halloween of all days, right? Man, you know, and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. And Nick's got his pirate hat here. I got my brewer outfit on, so we're ready to, any big plans for the day? Or?
You know, I might have to go get a pint somewhere in full pirate garb, you know? Nice. I mean, I bought the shirt more or less thinking about the Seinfeld episode, and it just so happens that it works out that I can be a pirate.
Right. That's the puffy shirt. So there you go. Fantastic. Well, Nick, it's great to have you here in your new capacity, executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. How long, first of all, tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, what's your background, and then how you got to be the executive director.
Right on. I am a proud Cleveland native, nice. Born and raised in Ohio. And I moved to Milwaukee back in 2014 to go to Marquette Law School. And I have not left. I mean, I'm still here. I have fallen in love with this state. And, you know, when I graduated from law school, I knew I wanted to be involved in politics. I wanted to be involved in civic engagement. I wanted to try and figure out ways that I could make my community better. And so, you know, it's been kind of a long and winding road since graduating from Marquette, you know, working on political campaigns, working in the mayor's office in Milwaukee, and then working for a national nonpartisan organization called Vote Riders that exclusively works on trying to help people get IDs so they can vote in strict photo ID law states. And so, you know, it ended up being kind of a perfect storm. Like, you know, I spent a decent amount of time at Vote Riders, and, you know, it's like, there's only so much you can do within like the photo ID law space. And I wanted to broaden my horizons a bit. And so Matt, my predecessor, he was retiring. And, you know, a few people hit me up and was like, hey, are you interested in being the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign? I'm like, you know what? That actually sounds like a great idea. I feel like thinking about all the pro-democracy things and trying to, you know, build towards reforms and making Wisconsin the best state it can be.
Matt Rothschild, of course, a longtime friend of ours and of this network, and did some fantastic work while he was the executive director, really grew the organization. And everything I've heard, the reviews on you are you're continuing on with that activism and that those focus on getting results for democracy, not just in Wisconsin, but being a part of helping save democracy across the country. It seems like, as Mike Lucas might say, timely indeed to focus on democracy in these days.
Amen. I mean, you know, it's funny. A lot of people, you know, I've told this several times, but like a lot of people are like, oh, you're coming in at a great time. It's going to be quiet. There's no elections, you know. And of course, it's been a trial by storm. Like yeah. I have been, you know, we had recently sworn in a Supreme Court justice back in August. And then right after that, we got a redistricting lawsuit. Right after that, we got, you know, threats of impeachment. And then, you know, everything mixed in between that, redistricting bills and all types of different bills to kind of claw back and make it tougher for Wisconsinites here to vote and be involved and have their voice heard. And so there's been a lot of long nights, Todd, but, you know, I'm ready for the fight, man. And I think bringing in my perspective, I think, you know, I'm a younger dude who, you know, happens to be black and Puerto Rican. You know, I've got a lot of thoughts about wanting to try and bring everybody to the table when it comes to these really important issues.
So for folks that might not be aware, I mean, having lived in Madison for the last 25-ish years or so, I'm very aware of your work. But I think this state or this show goes across the state. There might be people in Wausau or Amory or, you know, Hayward or other places of the state that are like, what is the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign? Explain to those folks, if you could, if they've never heard of it before, what is Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and what is your main mission?
Absolutely. So the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign was founded in 1995 as a nonprofit C3 organization dedicated to trying to develop and have, you know, a government here in Wisconsin that doesn't just focus on the narrow interest of the few, but, you know, thinking broadly about what are those measures that make this place more equitable. And so we actively work towards not only the pro-democracy reforms, and that can be a variety of different issues, but at least in the most recent, like, you know, several weeks, it's been a lot of focusing on fair maps. It's been a lot of, you know, money out of politics, because, you know, those two things, I think, are the key to seeing the exact type of equitable Wisconsin that serves everybody and not just a few people. And so when we talk about the fair maps, you know, that means more than just electing your, you know, elected officials. It means deciding how your communities are going to be drawn up, how resources are going to be allocated. And that can mean a great deal, especially for black and brown communities where, you know, hospitals, schools, you know, funding, those things, you know, it seems like they just whittle down year after year. It's like a death by a thousand cuts. And then when it comes to money out of getting money out of politics, I mean, our Supreme Court race this year is a real indication that, like, it's only going up. We saw $51 million spent on that. Mm-hmm. And that's not good. Like, for people like you and me, I don't have, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to throw in elections. You know, I care, but, like, you know, small dollar donors need more power.
I think one of the great things, and correct me if I'm wrong, but from someone who just watched the organization over the years, it's kind of a two-pronged approach. Your organization, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, is great at educating folks with facts and kind of taking out the hyperbole and saying, look, these are the facts of what's going on. And then you're also great in a grassroots organization of how can people implement the truth in their own communities across the state.
No, you're right. And I would say the big thing is, I mean, this is why I enjoy this work so much. Being a nonpartisan organization, it's not, you know, focused on trying to take the talking points from one party or the other. It's objectively, this is the situation. These are the pros and these are the cons. And, like, we try and work with the community to navigate those waters and share with them information that would be pertinent to their life. Nobody wants to sit here and, like, think about all these big wonky things that don't apply to their lives. And so we've really worked hard at trying to develop language and materials and deploy people that are already doing amazing work in the communities all across Wisconsin to be those trusted messengers and to be able to share that stuff so that people can feel invested and want to be a part of, you know, this amazing revolution that we are trying to put forth.
One of the big key issues for Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, as I understand it, and by the way, we're talking with Nick Romulus, the executive director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick, is what's going on a block up the street right now in the Capitol this week, which the Republicans are getting ready, the legislature is getting ready to take up this issue of redistricting. And Republicans move forward. We mentioned it the first hour. You know, Robin Voss got religion. I was working in the Capitol at the time for a Republican state senator. And when my former boss, Dale Schultz, was trying to lead a bipartisan effort on redistricting, Robin Voss was one of the most staunch people against that. Suddenly now, as you pointed out, liberals have a 4-3 majority in the Supreme Court. Robin Voss gets a deathbed conversion on redistricting, which is great. We welcome that. But as it turned out a couple weeks ago, Senate President Chris Kapinga went on Milwaukee television and said, yeah, we don't have the votes for that. So it seems disingenuous at best. Do I have this right or am I off base?
Man, you are spot on. And I would say I agree with you wholeheartedly that it's great that all of a sudden you have this, I guess, come to Jesus moment mm-hmm. of, okay, people have been begging for a fair map drawing process in this state, and it's just been laughed at. Yeah. And people feel like they've been screwed over mm-hmm. time and time again. So, you know, one of the big things that, especially in my testimony when I was at the Capitol for the first public hearing on redistricting in 13 years, mm-hmm. I made a big emphasis on the fact that people don't trust this legislature. And mm-hmm. and with
reason,
absolute reason to do so. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like because of this sudden shift with the Supreme Court, all of the sudden now you want to then try and get in front of the Supreme Court from drawing back some of the things that you and others in the legislature have put forth that, again, I don't think if the Supreme Court race would have went the opposite direction that we would even be having a redistricting bill in the first place.
I agree 100%.
And so I've begged, I've pleaded, I've said, look, if you want the best bill possible, you need to take the time to actually look at the states that have gotten great marks and have like good grades as far as like creating the most fair map possible. And don't sit here and just say, you guys wanted the Iowa model a few years ago. I'm giving you the Iowa model. Why are you not like appreciative of me giving this to you? It's like, no, like things change, things evolve. And like, we want to be a part of the process in developing a bill that makes sense for Wisconsin, a Wisconsin model. Right. But it takes time.
Got about a minute and a half left before the first break. We'll come back after that. But Nick, talk to us about a couple of these differences, because number one, the Iowa model addressed both legislative and congressional districts. The model that Republicans are trying to push through the legislature right now only does the legislature. It leaves the congressional districts gerrymandered, correct?
Right. So You're correct to say that, like, we're not looking at the whole enchilada here. It's just the legislative maps. And one of, you know, I remember sitting in the Capitol and somebody was, and I think it might have been Jay Heck with Common Cause. He's like, why don't you look at everything then if you want? Because, again, we look at redistricting every 10 years. So all of a sudden we're going to try and just sweep this thing through. Like, why are you doing it haphazardly? We want to be able to holistically, if we're going to look at it, you can't just do the legislative maps. Right. It's got to be both. And so I think we'll talk a little bit more about the nuances between the bills, but there's definitely a few big glaring things that we think are problematic for sure.
Nick Ramos, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. On the other side, we'll talk about some of those nuances, what's real, what's not, and what you can do about it. Stay with us. This is the Todd Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along with us. Mr. Zomer is on the board. We have Nick Ramos, who is here. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Nick, happy to have you here on this Halloween, this chilly Halloween.
You know, I just wanted to come on the radio and say, the Todd Father, I'm glad to be here, brother. I'm glad.
Godfather.
That's right.
That's fantastic. I'm going to start making my godsons calling me that now. Instead of Godfather, the Todd Father.
You need to get a shirt like that jersey, and you need to get Todd Father on the back, brother.
I'll give you a cut.
Okay. That would be balling. I'm telling you.
If we get merch, I'll give you a cut of that. That's
with some,
fantastic.
With some tearaway pants, man. Right. Oh, you'd be in a league of your own, dude. You know what?
I won't get it. I actually have, from years and years ago, I have a pair of tearaway pants.
Wow. Yeah, man.
The snaps.
I didn't realize you had that much flash in your repertoire, man. You're an animal.
You're the only one that says that, but thank you. I appreciate it. see, this is exactly what we want from our guest. You understand that, Mr. Somers? This is exactly what we want. He's smart, but he's also got, he's pithy and got a sense of humor as well. It's fantastic. Nick, things are heating up. They're certainly not chilly up the street in the Capitol this week as we're talking about this legislation. And again, I know of legislators, particularly in Southwest Wisconsin. Howard Markline, chair of the Joint Finance Committee, and Tony Kurtz and others are going out there on radio and other venues and saying, "Well, look, we want redistricting. We're trying. The Democrats are obstructing this." And again, I was, you know, I told this last hour before you got here, like in the short version, when I was, you know, I left the Republican Party in 2011 over so-called voter ID bills when I was at a closed Senate Republican caucus, and former Chair Mary Lozick stood up and said, she said, listen, we got to think what these bills would mean to places like Milwaukee and our college campuses, unquote. That's a direct quote. Mm. And of course, what she meant was, how can we suppress the votes of Black and brown folks and college students? The dog whistle couldn't have been louder.
Yikes.
And it was that moment when I sat there and my boss interrupted. He goes, hey, we better think what you just said. Mm-hmm. And now U.S. Congressman Glenn Grothman said, well, you know, the Democrats would do it if they were in charge, so we better do it while we still have the power. And my boss walked out in protest. He goes, you stay here. And so I listened to 90 more minutes of that. And I said, I didn't sign up for this. This is what I believe. It literally is the straw that broke the camel's back, why I left the Republican Party in 2011. Hmm. And now here in 2023, we have some of the same players in Robin Voss trying to sell this to the Wisconsin public that they're all for fair maps. Nick, keep me straight and narrow here. If the Supreme Court, one of the decisions they could find, and you having a law degree, you understand this better than I do, yeah. But if the Supreme Court finds, they could find that all the maps were unconstitutional, and that could force the entire legislature, mm-hmm. both the state Senate, those who are up regularly, and those who aren't, like Howard Markline, and all the state representatives who would normally be up, everybody could be on the map, versus if this legislation were to pass, and again, Tony Evers has said he's going to veto it, but if it were to be passed and brought into law, that would save a lot of people from having to run for re-election.
Amen. Yeah, I mean, again, it's a real telling sign of why we're even looking at this bill in the first place, because there's a lot of fear that everybody's going to be on the ballot in 2024 because mm-hmm. the maps get thrown out because the Supreme Court looks at it and says they're unconstitutional. And so, again, I mean, for a lot of us in the pro-democracy space, we see the move as far as this redistricting bill for what it is. It's to circumvent and avoid what they feel is inevitably is coming down the pipeline. And it's like, look, oral arguments start November 21st. Let the case happen. Let's see what happens with that. And the meanwhile, like, we have a real opportunity to do something really awesome here. We have an opportunity to create a redistricting bill that can be fair and be able to actually get buy-in, community buy-in from everybody in the state. But it just, you see kind of just the master narrative that's happening right now. It's, oh, we presented a bill. They don't want the bill. They're being obstructionists. And it's like, no, there's going to be an opportunity for other bills to be presented on this. Why the rush all of a sudden? And well, I think people can see why.
Remind folks, was there a public hearing on this bill before they tried to push it through?
I would say, Todd, that in the assembly, they happened to announce this bill on a Tuesday and then take it straight to the floor, full assembly, voted on it, passed it, and we didn't get a single public committee hearing. We didn't get anything. And then it just so happens that Speaker Voss was like, yeah, well, it didn't happen in the assembly, but the Senate's going to do public hearings, so you don't have to worry about, you know, not having an opportunity to speak. And it's like, oh, wow, you're kicking the can to them. Yeah. And then for the first time in 13 years, we get to go in front of them. And we filled that room up. There was about 5 hours worth of testimony.
I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I'm not the brightest bulb on the string. But one thing I learned in 30 years of politics, most of them have an ego and there's a lot of narcissism. And I've never seen the assembly say, oh, no, we'll just let the Senate get all the glory on this and let them do the public hearing. I've never seen them give that up. Never seen them give up that power before.
Till now.
I mean, if I'm in the Republican Assembly caucus, I'm looking at Robin Voss saying, what up? I mean, you're giving, you're seating. There is so much, you know, jealousy between the two houses up there. I mean, senators usually think that they're better because they're in the smaller body. And the assembly folks are like, you know, we're the house of the people.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of consternation between the, I've never seen one side give up their power like that.
You know, I mean, it just ended up being when they had the whole floor session. I mean, it went into the wee hours of just everybody giving speeches about why this bill is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And it's just, no, I mean, it's funny that, yeah, they we see so many electeds now sitting here saying that this has been the answer to so many prayers, and why aren't you grateful for you know, this bill that we finally listened to? It's like, man, I think if anybody's under the gun or are being pressured to do something, then yeah, you know, they're going to be able to tidy up, make it look good. Mm-hmm. But we've looked at this bill, and I think it's really problematic that in the past we've seen bipartisan redistricting bills have a bigger threshold when it comes to voting on it. Like in this particular bill, you need a simple majority, 50 plus one. So that can be 50 Republicans, one Democrat. That's a bipartisan bill. The bill will pass. Mm-hmm. Versus in previous ones, you needed 75% of each House to advance the bill so it could be signed into law. So that's one really big problem. The other big problem I would say is that, okay, we're going to talk about Iowa. Iowa, you know, if the legislature is at a gridlock and can't decide on the maps, then it goes to the Supreme Court there. There's nothing in our bill about that. And we heard a lot of excuses as far as, oh, well, our Constitution's written different and all this stuff. I'm like, okay, great. Well, you need to figure out some type of third-party arbitrator to be able to decide this instead of keep kicking it back to the legislature. Because if you guys can't agree on it, there's got to be an independent body out there that can. And then we need to make sure they keep saying – and by they, the legislature keeps saying, well, this is a real nonpartisan bill. But how is it really nonpartisan when you're asking the Senate Majority Leader, the Senate Minority Leader, the Speaker and the Assembly, and the Minority Leader and the Assembly to all pick their foremen, their four people, and then those four people get to pick a chairperson to run them? It's like it's a bipartisan group. It's not a nonpartisan group.
And until we have... until we don't have gerrymandering, those positions that you mentioned in the legislature will remain with one party.
Yeah, it's nothing's going to change. It's called insanity. You know, keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. So,
Nick Ramos, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We're going to give you the details where you can find Wisconsin Democracy Campaign on the other side. But, Nick, thanks so much for coming. Really, really appreciate you.
Todd, Father, always a pleasure, brother.
Some Halloween stories on the other side. Your calls as well. The Todd Allball Show on Civic Media.
To my surprise,
he did the match.
He did the monster match.
The monster match.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the match.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the match.
He did the monster match. From my lab.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is a Halloween edition. Halloween edition. 31st of October, 2023. Mr. Aaron Sommers on the board. Nicely done. A little monster match. Did you, so you didn't go trick-or-treating. We did, and in fact, we went all in the neighborhood for several years. First, it kind of started out because I think my mom and my aunt originally at my grandparents' house, Richland Center, when they were kids, one of their friends turned out to be a funeral director, Rick Umbehan, in Richland Center. And so he got like a real casket that it like put on the wow. front porch, and like they gave out candy from that. And we thought that was cool growing up as kids. And so my sister and I and a couple of my cousins and stuff, we kind of recreated this on my grandparents' porch when we were kids and made like a haunted yard. And then as we got older, it kind of transferred to our own house and our own neighborhood. And our neighbor across the street, Jeff Hillesheim and the Hiltbrands, and we all got together and we did this big haunted yard. We had black lights and we had costumes and we had, you know, tombstones. And then, you know, you'd have somebody kind of dress up as a dead person or a mummy or a zombie, and they'd sit there on the porch and then act like they were dead. And if it was like, you wouldn't do this to little kids,
right?
But
right.
like, you know, middle school or high school kids, they'd come up to get candy and he'd be like, boo, scare the crap out of them. And, but we gave on good candy as well. So it was a big, growing up as a kid, you know, it was, and it wasn't like gory type of stuff. It was just kind of witches and goblins and skeletons.
Yeah, it's not gory, it's spooky.
Right, exactly. That's a good way to put it, spooky. So, you know, what are your Halloween traditions? If you want to give us a call, Sharon, we're happy to hear from you. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. What are your favorite Halloween traditions? Haunted yard, that sort of thing. I want to thank Nick Ramos, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. What a great guy. What a just a chill, wonderful guy. Also super smart and doing a great job picking up the mantle where Matt Rothschild left off, and doing a great job as executive director, the new one, Nick Ramos. Happy to have him here.
Absolutely.
If you would like to get more information about the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, some of the things like redistricting that Nick was talking about while he was here, if you want to get involved, and yes, if you want to contribute, you can find them at wisdc.org. That's wisdc.org. Click on subscribe. You will not be sorry you did. Again, wisdc.org, and then hit subscribe to follow the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and support them in their good causes. Important these days to have someone out there fighting specifically for democracy campaigns.
You'd think that our elected officials would be advocating for us, but sometimes you do need those external groups when they refuse to represent the people, like many Wisconsin legislators are doing right now.
Absolutely. And it's it's a group effort. We all have to be in this together. We here at Civic are part of that, but each and every one of you listening, what you do with the information, how you get involved in your own community, that's what makes the biggest difference. Also, WAUK texting in on the line, Jack and Merrimack, you can text in as well by downloading the Civic Media app. Jack says there are other reasons for rejecting the proposed quote-unquote redistricting maps. First, the bill lets the legislature reject the maps if they don't like them, and after a couple of rejections, they can draw it their own way anyway. And if you think that won't happen, I wonder what dream world you've been living in. Jack also says, seriously, this is really about attempting to delay redistricting for yet another election, hoping that they might get 2/3 majority of both houses that they already tried to get. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate that, Jack and Merrimack. And again, yeah, I mean, they've got the supermajority by one vote in the Senate, the Republicans do, and they are only 2 votes away from having the supermajority in the Assembly. Another reason, an example, why elections are so important. We'll come back with more news, perhaps either at the end of the show or certainly tomorrow. But, you know, I think sometimes it's good to kind of lighten it up, do something different, particularly on certain days or holidays. And Halloween, I think, you know, I'm not for, as you said, I'm not for a gory Halloween. I'm not for a scary Halloween. I'm for a spooky, fun Halloween.
I think that's the best way to do it. I don't know anybody who is about a gory Halloween, unless they just mean watching gory horror movies. But like,
that's the one genre of movies I don't like at all.
I actually really like horror movies.
Do you really?
I wasn't allowed to watch them when I was younger, which does not shock you, since you know I was not allowed to trick or treat. And then I started watching them on my own with more like thriller than horror, like Alien, things like that. And I loved it. And then horror movies are a little more hit or miss because sometimes they're gory just to be gory.
Right. I don't. It's like a movie that swears or a song that swears just to swear.
But sometimes it tells a good story.
But sometimes, I mean, that's the vernacular of the era or the vernacular of the person that you're trying to portray, and to do an honest portrayal, you know, a lot of cussing is necessary to do that correctly. If it's for an artistic reason, I'm fine with it. If it's just if it's just to get a reaction, just like a horror movie, you're going to slice somebody's arm off just to get a reaction, I don't know.
Like,
I'm not for that.
Not a horror movie, but Saving Private Ryan, pretty gory.
Pretty gory.
But it's telling an important story.
That's a great example. What are your favorite Halloween traditions? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. So here now, from our crack staff from the desk, we have urban legends that are true. Urban legends that are true. If you want to call in and comment on any of these, or you have your own Halloween tradition, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, and you can text us at the Civic Media app. You can download it at your Apple or Android device. The first one, and we alluded to this, being buried alive. Like, legit, I used to, like, kind of get freaked out about it. I used to think about this, really. So here's the legend. The legend is that some poor schmuck is committed to his or her eternal resting place, even though they aren't quite ready to take their final dirt nap. Scratch marks are later found in the coffin lid, along with other desperate signs of escape. That's what you know, the legend out there that people are buried alive. Here's the truth. This not only happened, but back in the day, it happened with alarming regularity. Truth stranger than fiction, see? In the late 19th century, William Tebb tried to compile all the instances of premature burial from medical sources of the day. He managed to collect 219 cases of near premature burial, 149 cases of actual premature burial, and a dozen cases where dissection or embalming had begun on a not yet deceased body. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's true. That's like truly terrifying, if you ask me.
Absolutely. And I think, like, if you've already begun embalming, I think right? The right thing to do is probably put them out of their misery.
Really? You would just keep going?
No. Like,
stop, stop.
No, I'm saying if you've begun embalming, a lot of the time those processes, like, if you're getting formaldehyde injected into your veins already, it's probably too late.
Probably too late.
But I wouldn't just say keep doing that. I would say, I don't know.
It's a tough call,
I'm not an expert.
Right?
I'm not an expert.
Well, neither am I. But here we go. So now, this may seem ridiculous, but keeping in mind, there was an era before doctors, such as the esteemed Dr. Gregory House, gained the ability to solve any ailment within 42 minutes. If you went to the doctor with the flu, and just the flu, you know, back in the day, they'd likely cover you in leeches and prescribe you heroin to suppress your cough. Where are those doctors today, by the way? But that's true. That was medical science of the day. Their only method for determining if a person had died, get this, was to lean over their face and scream, "Wake up!" over and over again. Like just screaming at the person. And if you didn't react, then they buried you.
That, like, have you ever met a teenager?
Especially, they. I have a niece right now who's like 16. And I mean, their bodies are growing and things. I remember my godsons were that age. I mean, they sleep till 11, 12 o'clock. They're not doing anything nefarious. They're just growing teenagers. Their bodies need extra rest. You're right.
Absolutely. Like sometimes people just don't wake up easily.
You don't want to bury them, by the way.
Did they even just like... You could put something like a mirror or something shiny under their nose and see if it right? fogs up. Like that's also not foolproof,
no.
But it's better than just screaming at them to wake up.
So the concern over being buried alive back then was so real, I did not know this, that the must-have hot ticket item for the wealthy and paranoid were safety coffins. You ever heard of this? Safety coffin.
Can't say I have.
A real thing. It allowed those inside to signal to the outside world, usually by ringing a bell or raising some type of flag, should they awake from 6 feet under. Although answering the bell, that sounds like a good way to be amused by a zombie. Or try this again. Answering that bell sounds like a good way to be ambushed by a zombie, if you ask us. I think but this is a real thing. Safety coffins, they had like a string or a rope inside the coffin that went up through the ground. And then there was a flag or a bell next to your tombstone. And so if you woke up in a coffin, you just ring that bell. But like, would you want to answer that? Would you start digging up a coffin in the middle of the night with some bell ringing? Now, unfortunately, safety coffins are not in vogue anymore. So if you're at the cemetery and you hear a muffled voice calling out, "Okay, guys, joke's over, let me out," it may not be a good idea to inform someone and get a shovel quickly.
By the way, we have a text. Matt from Germantown says, "I believe that's where the phrase 'saved by the bell' came from."
Now let me tell you, if Mario Lopez was in that coffin, I'd dig like a woodchuck. I mean, I would be like, "I'm here, Mario. I'm here. What can I do for you?" That very nicely done, Matt in Germantown. Saved by the bell. So now, of course, you know, look, we're just trying to be a little facetious here, but there's no way something like this could happen today, right? Well, except for this story about a Venezuelan man waking up during his autopsy. On second thought, you might want to reconsider adding a line in your will that states you're to be buried with a gas-powered auger in your casket with you. So there apparently it's occasionally it's still, I think there, I could, there's a woman that, that was declared in some cases, in some countries, they still don't embalm for, you know, people can't afford it. And so people who are declared dead, they have the funeral like the same day or the next day. That's where you know, the tradition of flowers came from, because before embalming, you know, you would have the visitation or the funeral within 24 hours. So they put flowers around the casket to hide the decomposing smell. And so in some countries, that's still the case. So I know there was a woman not like a year ago, I can't remember, somewhere South or Central America, who had passed, and they put her in the coffin and she woke up during her funeral.
At least she woke up during the funeral.
So they put her in the, I think she lasted like a couple of weeks and then finally really did pass. But I mean, can you imagine being in a funeral and the corpse? Yeah, what are you guys doing here? I've always said, I think I should put it in my will, for people that know me, that when I do pass, I want we'll say the funeral is going to be at 11 o'clock. I'm going to have my funeral start at 11:15, and that way I'll be late for my own funeral.
There we go.
I'll have him push my body into 11:15. See, Todd is always known as be late, and he's but late for his own funeral.
If you're planning to be late, are you really late?
Well, thank you, Mr. Summers. I appreciate that. You're absolutely right. We're going to come back one more story here, at least from beyond the grave. Spooky real stories for Halloween. What is your favorite? Do you have a Halloween story? What's your favorite Halloween tradition? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Oh, I like that. Howling at the moon.
Tales from beyond the grave.
Did you ever tell ghost stories when you were a kid?
Like very poorly made up ones, you know, like.
You were a Boy Scout, so did you ever like have campfire stories at Boy Scout camp?
Yeah, and usually I didn't know any spooky stories. We just like make stuff up sometimes.
Right.
Do the thing you see in movies where like you shine a flashlight under your face.
Oh yeah.
To make those shadows.
Good, right? Only the shadow knows. Back with more Halloween true stories and your calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. The special Halloween edition of the Todd Lawball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Lawball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, a special Halloween edition, October 31st, 2023. 10 now before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. Little news, little weather, and then our friend, Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, with your phone calls, takes on the news, everything that is news, taking you to the front lines of history being made, history in the making. Matt Flynn Direct after the top of the hour news at 2 o'clock. Matt will give you all the latest. Of course, here in the state of Wisconsin, we let off the show with the news that Governor Tony Evers is going to be suing, or is suing, the state legislature over the fact that they're not letting these pay increases for University of Wisconsin employees take effect, even though it was passed the budget and signed by Governor Evers. And this committee of 14 folks decides, mostly Republicans, decides, no, we're not going to let that happen over being, you know, little salty, to put it mildly, on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Matt Flynn with state and national stories as well, taking you to front lines of history being made. One of the things we didn't get to do, because I want to do something a little fun or a little different, I guess, for Halloween, but we'll pick up on this tomorrow. Matt may talk about it today. The new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, has announced that he will move forward with aid to Israel. He is going to take out the Ukraine aid, but move forward with Ukraine to Israel. But what he's going to do is attach essentially what we call a poison pill in politics, which means that in order for this to pass, they're going to have to give big tax cuts, or big cuts, I should say. So, I mean, putting a poison pill, a legislative poison pill on aid to Israel. I got to believe that Matt Flynn is going to be talking about that today, coming up after the news at the top of the hour. Right now, we're talking about spooky stories, Halloween stories. Do you have a favorite Halloween story, a favorite Halloween tradition? And what is your favorite Halloween candy? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Tom in Grafton. Tom, thanks for calling in. Happy Halloween. What say you?
Hi, Tom. I have more of a question.
Sure.
You know that famous movie, War of the Worlds, from Orson Welles?
Orson Welles, yes.
39.
Started out as a radio show.
On Halloween night?
I believe it was. I think it was. Mr. Zomers is looking it up. I think it was because it was on the radio first, and it wasn't super widely broadcast, but those people that did hear it, of course, they actually thought that this stuff was real.
Right. And I think people died over it.
Yeah, there were some deaths. I'm sure, yes, there were. But
and yes,
yeah.
It was on October 31st, 1938.
There you go. Thank you, Mr. Zomers. 1938.
Wow. Yeah, he was from Racine, I think, or Orson
Welles. Yes, I believe you're right, Wisconsinite.
It was on October 30th. The 31st is when Orson Welles explained to reporters that he did not mean to cause panic.
Oh, I see. So it was on the 30th, yeah. But regardless, around Halloween time. But, I mean, but think about it, right. Tom. Back then, there were no, like, cell phones to verify or, hey, was this really real? I mean, people, when they heard something on the radio in 1938... And heard an authoritative voice, I mean, that was the gospel.
Right, and that guy has a very, very authoritative voice.
Yeah.
There used to be a show on out of Kenosha, and a guy named Lou Regalia, who I think your network is going to be hiring.
He's hired, and he's coming back on the air down there in Racine, Kenosha on WRJN. We cannot wait to have him on the weekends, Lou Regalia.
He's really a great guy. I've called in his show a few times, and he had like a history thing he'd do on the Racine Kenosha area. And you'd be surprised the amount of famous people, interesting things that have happened, down there too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Great call, Tom. Really appreciate it. Happy Halloween. Thanks for calling and sharing that. Really, really great point. What's your favorite Halloween story, or what's your favorite trick-or-treat candy? Give us a call. Anything Halloween-ish, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Bill in Oconomowoc. Bill, always great to hear from you, my friend. What say you?
As far as Halloween goes, when we were kids, I lived in Wauwatosa. And on the west side of Wauwatosa, there was an old farmhouse that was abandoned with a chain across the driveway. Mm-hmm. So we kids got in there a little early and hid in there. And we knew some other kids we knew, friends of ours, were on their way. They walk into the house. Now, it's getting very dark out. And they got flashlights. A friend of mine is hiding behind where the milk chute is.
Okay.
The laundry.
Yeah,
drop it down to the laundry chute. He's hiding it there. And they walk into the kitchen. I'll never forget this. And he pushes the door open, and he sticks the flashlight under his chin so his face illuminates. These kids ran out of the house so fast, they forgot the chain across the driveway, and they all did somersaults when it hit them in the stomach.
Oh, no. My gosh.
And even to this day, one of the guys that did the somersault is still with us, and he's a good friend of mine, and we still laugh.
Bill, that is fantastic Halloween story. That's exactly what we want to hear. Thank you so much, Bill. Thanks for calling in and sharing that. Happy Halloween to you. Wow, that would scare the crap out of me too. And then forget the chain was there in the dark, right? 844-967-2789. Let's go to Oliver in Wausau. Oliver, what say you?
Well, I'll tell you, mine's a very tame story, and I'll tie it to current events.
Sure.
As a kid, I wasn't allowed to have candy. So on Halloween, I went out with a little box that I picked up and collected for the UNICEF Children's Fund. And I'm thinking of reactivating that this year, and I'm going to go door-to-door asking for contributions of professional football players for my Bears and the Packers.
I love that, Oliver. I did UNICEF, too, as a kid through church and raised some money and had some fun. But, yeah, I think we should. Yeah, I mean, geez, the football players need it, right?
Well, absolutely. But I appreciate being able to tell a tame story.
Right.
Because I don't like horror movies.
Neither do I.
Watch them. But right. I still remember when my parents went out on New Year's Eve and I watched some of the movies when they thought, creatures were created by atomic bombs that were dropped off. So that's how old I am.
Great call. Great call, Oliver. Thank you so much. Oliver, listening up at Bull Falls Radio up there in Wausau. We appreciate all the phone calls. What are we, I'm looking at this new clock, 58, what are we out at, 58:50?
Yep, same as always.
About a minute, same as always. Oh, Mr. Zombers, it's fantastic. Maybe we'll, a couple of these stories are really good we didn't get to because of the calls, but I love the calls. That was fantastic. So one of them was called The Call from Beyond the Grave, where somebody passed away tragically, but the family still kept getting calls from their cell phone. That really happened.
Oh, boy. And it was their phone?
It was their phone.
Oh, man.
I mean, I believe in spirits. So we'll see. Great show today. Nick Ramos, we appreciate him from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Luke Mathers, Tuesday Tangents with Luke, Mr. Zomers. Thanks all the calls. We appreciate you. Matt Flynn is next. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show. Have a safe and happy Halloween. Keep banging your drum.
Look out for fake clowns.